Colossians chapter 1, and starting in verse 9, I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to what? To desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." It's an interesting thing there. That just jumped off the page at me. Not just mental understanding, but spiritual understanding. There's a difference. You can be book smart, but dumb with wisdom. Right? Spiritual understanding. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now look at verse 11. "Strengthened with all might." That word might is dunamis. It's the power of God. "Strengthened with all might, according to what? His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering." What is that going to give you? Strengthened with all might is going to do what? It's going to give you patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath, not going to, hath in my book is past tense. It says, who hath done what? Delivered us, that means me, from what? The power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, he delivered us from the power of darkness, but he didn't remove us from this world. So we're going to be exposed to the darkness that's in this world. We're going to be exposed to people who are influenced by the devil, but we're not under their power. We're not subject to the power of the devil, because this says right here, we've been delivered from it. We're not under that power or that authority anymore. Just keep that in mind. So this word strengthened means to increase in strength. Or you could say to be boosted. Some of the translations, I know in the King James, it says that same word means to wax strong. Now that we don't use those words anymore, those terms anymore. It's kind of old English. But in the scripture, it talks about Jesus waxing strong as a young child. What does that mean? He increased in strength. That's what that means. Same word. Same way it's used. But I was sharing last week, let me read this from the New International Version, Colossians 1, where it talks about being strengthened with all might. Listen, I just love this in the New International Version. It says, "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." Boy, I'll tell you, that blesses me. Because that right there tells you, when you're confronted with life's issues and problems, you need to have great endurance and patience. We all know that. And how does that say here that you're going to have that? Through being strengthened with his spirit, or by his spirit, where? In your inner man. And we all know this. You know, you can think back about, maybe you heard somebody say this, but we have heard about maybe your grandparents or somebody you knew, you said, boy, they went through that. They had strong, I've heard this word, they had strong constitution, or they had a strong way about them, right? What does that mean? That means that they were strengthened on the inside. I mean, I shared it last week, this scripture in Proverbs 18. You can turn over there just quickly. Proverbs 18, verse 14. We're talking about being strengthened inside, in our inner man, the real you. But when you are strengthened, this is what happens. See, look at Proverbs 18, verse 14. I'll read two translations. But the King James says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? See, the Amplified says it this way. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. Boy, that's what we need, isn't it? We need to be strengthened. So that you what? You can endure. And this says, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? So it's from your spirit that you receive strength to what? To overcome pressure and anxiety, issues in life. It's in this spirit man. See, and when we are walking through issues, I can tell you, when you know the difference when your spirit's strong and weak. I'll tell you what, you know the difference if I said to you, all right, let's all go run a mile. Let's see how strong you are. See if whether you're in shape to do that, right? Or you could look at it from your immune system. When your immune system gets weak, you don't even know it, do you? Next thing you know, you're like, ooh, I got something coming on me, right? But working up to that point, whether it was lack of sleep, diet poor, whatever it is, your immune system got weaker and weaker and weaker, and you didn't even know it. And then your body's exposed to some germs or disease, and the next thing you know, it hits your body, and you're dealing with the result of a symptom, but the problem started a long time before that, didn't it? And it's the same thing with a weakened spirit. You don't even know that your spirit has gotten weak, and you're dealing with a pressure or some issue in life, and you're trying to deal with it. A lot of times people are dealing with it in their own strength and not the strength that comes from their spirit. And that strength comes about through, what does it say? Strengthened with might, with all might, according to his glorious power, not mine. And so that's how we walked through last week. How are we going to be strengthened? Through the word of God. That's what we were talking about. Through the word of God, through prayer, praying in the spirit, praying in other tongues. It talks about being built up in your inner man by praying in the spirit. So those ways will energize or charge our spirit or empower our spirit so that as we walk through life and something hits us, we're not rattled as much, right? It may cause us to do this a little bit. Maybe it grip your brain and your brains go, whoa. But your spirit's going, we got this. Just stay steady. You can walk through this. See, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily injury or pain or whatever issue you're walking through. See, so we've not been removed from this world, but God has empowered us with his power. So we can. Isn't that good news? Boy, that's good news for me. Because we're not doing this by ourselves. Amen. You know, some people are preaching, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. I know what we're going to do. We're going to get strengthened. We're going to be strengthened with his power. Hallelujah. So we can overcome. We can endure. Let me read just a few other translations and we'll jump off of this here. The Complete Jewish Bible says, we pray that you will be continually strengthened. I like that. Continually strengthened with all the power that comes from his glorious might so that you'll be able to persevere and be patient in any situation joyfully. See? You can walk through it joyfully. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. I didn't say it was joyful, but his joy is strengthening me, right? I didn't say, you know, sometimes you just got to laugh at stuff because other than that, I mean, you'd be sitting there whining and complaining about it. You just got to have joy and say, I'm going through this and laugh. and laugh and laugh at it. Just laugh at it. And the devil say, what are you laughing at? I'm laughing at you because you are defeated. I'm laughing at you. Because you, Joker, were whipped. Because Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll read one more. This is the Passion Translation. It says, and we pray that you would be energized with all his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope and patient endurance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, we are filled with his explosive glory. Amen. His power, his glory fills us. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's look at similar prayer. Paul's praying this prayer to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. To the end of the chapter, verse 14. This is the King James version. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to what? The riches of what? His glory. He's talking about his glory here. The riches of his glory to be what? To be strengthened. His glory strengthens us. Strengthened with what? To be strengthened with might. That's dunamis again. His power. God's power. By his spirit in the inner man. He's praying almost the same prayer here. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? Faith. It's got to do this by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Boy, that's something. We can think some big things, but he'll do greater than that. What does it say? According to the power that worketh in us. Oh boy, it's this glory that's working in us. He's saying that power, that dunamis power that's working in us, will do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Wow. That's something. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The Complete Jewish Bible says in verse 16, I pray that from the treasures of his glory, he will empower you with inner strength by his spirit. Boy, that to me just says it right there. That from the treasures of his glory, he will empower you with inner strength by his spirit. Boy, if you're empowered with that type of inner strength, that's why when the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. Man, if you're strengthened with that, you can do all things. Man, there's nothing you can't do. If I'm strengthened with his inner power, oh my goodness. And he's saying here that we should be. So he's not holding his back. Now tell me, that means if I'm infused or empowered with his inner strength, that means I should be able to know what to do, where to go, and how to do it. Right? I should be. Because at the beginning of that prayer, What did he say in here? He said that you would what? He said that you be that you would be able to comprehend. My goodness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's say this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for granting me to be strengthened with miracle-working ability in my inner man by your Spirit. I declare that Christ is dwelling in my heart by faith, and I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Jesus' name, amen. We are strengthened with the treasures of his glorious power. Where? In my inner man. And the more I say that, what does the scripture say? What did Paul also pray? And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, those things we believe and therefore we speak. Amen. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Just back up a page or so. I want us to look at this here. Ephesians chapter 1. Similar prayer here. Starting in verse 16. And I want us to look at this in context of not chapter and verse. This prayer here starts really, well, you could go back to the beginning of the chapter, but for the sake of time, I want to start in verse 16, and I want us to read through part of chapter 2, because it's all one thought here, one prayer. Verse 14, or 16, he said, well, actually, let me start at 15. It says, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. This is dunamis power, the power of God. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to what? To usward, who do what? Believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, if we just take away the chapter markings here, the thought continues. And you hath he done what? Quickened. Who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, now look at this, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised who? Us up together and made us sit where? Together in heavenly places in Christ. So he raised all of us up together with Christ from hell. Now we weren't there, but our sins were. And so where did he do? He said here, he raised us up together and seated us together in heavenly places. What? In Christ. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to this here from the Bible in basic English. It says, and how unlimited is his power to us who have faith, and is seen in the working of the strength of his power by which he made Christ come back from the dead. So in other words, his unlimited power is available to us through faith. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation, it says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. So his power, this strength, is received through faith in Christ. So this same power, the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in his place of honor is in the heavenly realms, and we're seated there with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's jump over. I want you to look at something real quick in Romans chapter 6 for a minute. Romans chapter 6. If you look at the beginning of chapter 6 in Romans, it talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But it conveys the thought that we're included in this. So if you read this, it says, a verse at the beginning of chapter 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were what? Baptized into Christ, or into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up. Who was raised up? He was, and we were. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the what? The glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. See, we've been delivered from sin and darkness. So as he was raised up, so were we. So we're to walk in newness of life. That's what he's talking about here. So the power of sin, it's been annulled through what? The power of Christ. It's been broken. So you don't have to. You have a choice. You can, but you don't have to. It's been broken over your life. What does that mean? It doesn't have the power to make you do something. Hallelujah. And then it continues. And it says, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. He's talking about us. Knowing this, that our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Hallelujah. We're free from it. Hallelujah. It has no power over us. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also, yourselves, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And then it goes on and talks about the rest of that. But the point is, we've been delivered from sin. And his power, his life, resides in us. We've been raised with him and seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now let's go over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. That was just a little foundation. Now we'll get into the lesson. I'm sorry, excuse me. Matthew 28. No, that was more than a foundation. All right, Matthew 28. In verse 16, this is the Great Commission. Jesus was just before he left this earth and was taken and translated or ascended into heaven. He gave this command. In verse 16, he said, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying," now this is Jesus speaking. What does it say next? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This word power is exousia. It means authority. A little different. It's not the power of God. It's not dunamis. This is authority. He's saying here, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. What's the next word? Go ye therefore. So he's giving us authority right here. He's conferring to the body of Christ, he's conferring here to go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So this word exousia, he conferred authority upon the church. His authority. No different than what a local town or principality will confer to a police officer. What? Authority. To do what? Uphold the law. So this word here, exousia, means authority, or the power of authority of influence, means delegated power. So that's really what you could say. This was authority here given by God, by Jesus, by God through Jesus, is what? Delegated power. He's given us the authority to delegate his power. So he assumed authority, this authority, when he sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavenlies. He assumed that. And then he conferred it. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 8. I want us to look at this here. Hebrews chapter 8 and look at verse 1. I'll wait for you to get there. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set," right? "He's set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." Who's set there with him? We are. We were set there with him, what? In a place, we're not physically there, but legally, as far as God is concerned, we have been given authority. That's really what that means. When we've been set with him at the right hand of the throne of God, that means, as far as God's concerned, legally, he sees us in that place of authority. We've been set in that place with him. We're not deity. Well, think about it. If the head is there, we're connected to the head. We are the body of Christ. Physically, the body of Christ is here in the earth. The head is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But we are set there with him in a place of authority. He conferred that authority on us. Hallelujah. So let me just read these thoughts here. I'm going to read a little excerpt out of this book here. And, you know, we have some here if you're interested. It says, "The right hand of the throne of God is the center of power of the whole universe." The right hand of the throne of God is the center of power of the whole universe. "And the exercising of this power of the throne was committed to the ascended Lord." The exercising of that power was committed to the ascended Lord. Now listen to this. This is key. That's why this book here, you got to read this slow. This got some tremendous insight and revelation. This is what he said. "The elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning that they are made sharers of this authority, which is his." He was given authority, but he's sharing that with us through his body, and we were ascended with him to be seated with him in that place of authority. Let me read it again. "The elevation of his people," which is us, "with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers of the authority which is his." That authority is not mine. He shared it. He's conferred it upon the body of Christ. When he said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." So he has commissioned us with his authority, sharing his authority to go forth in the earth to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. That's what the scriptures say. And we are sharers. What happened when Jesus walked this earth? He walked on water. He commanded the devils out of the man from the Gadarenes. I mean, I had an experience one time. I'm going to tell you. See, because a lot of us, it doesn't happen every day. But I remember, this is a family situation, and my sister was getting married, and her fiance was in the house. I've shared this before. Bears repeating. Because you need to know who you are in Christ. And so he was in the house, and so he wanted to chat. I just happened to be reading my Bible. So just sitting there reading my Bible, and he wanted to, so we went in another room. And so finally we were just sitting there talking at the table. It was like this, just calm, natural, just sitting here, just low key. He jumped up from the table and got about this far from me and was beating his chest just like this. His eyes were bright red. I mean, it was like that quick. He jumped up and he beat his chest and said, "The devil lives in here." And I'm telling you that quick because it caught me just, you know, somebody jump up and you're here, you're like, whoa. And it happened that quick. It felt like this coat, a coat dropped on me this quick. Just, it was the presence of God. It was so strong, it dropped on me. It caught me. It dropped on me, and up out of my spirit, my inner man, came these words. I used his name, and I said, "I'm not afraid of demons or devils." And I mean, it was with power. I said, "I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus." Just that quick. And this is what he did. He walked out of the room. As bold and big and bad as he was, he ain't bold and big and bad where the authority of Jesus is used. And you need to know that. I don't go around looking for people who are motivated by the devil. I don't go around looking for people that are, you know, demon possessed. I don't do that. Because we're not supposed to. And you get yourself in a world of problems if you do. Because maybe God didn't authorize you or direct you to do that. See, because always remember, God won't use his authority to override a man's will. He can't. Man is made in the image and likeness of God. He has a free moral choice. He can decide he wants to worship the devil. And you can't change that. You can't go in and override their will. But I'll tell you, you can, when confronted, you can stand up and use the name of Jesus and they'll back down. And so that's what happened. He backed down. And for 3 days, if I came in a room, he wouldn't look at me. He wouldn't even look in my face because he knew who I was in Christ. He knew. See? So again, the point is we are sharers with God's glory. We're sharers with this authority. So we are made to sit with him, and we're made to share his throne. We are made to sit. He says we were raised with Christ and seated at the right hand of the Father with him. So we were made to share his throne. That's what the scripture is saying. Why would we be raised and seated with him? What would be the purpose of that? It's the body. He raised the body of Christ up from the grave and was raised. We were raised and seated with him for the purpose of sharing his authority. Amen. So to share a throne, I'm still reading some thoughts that this author wrote. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. That's what that means. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. I mean, just think of a simple example. A husband and wife, when they become married, what does it say? They become one. They're two, but they're one. They've been joined together. They share authority in that house. It's not just one, because they are one. And they share the authority that God has given them over that household. It's not just one person. They share authority. And so the same thing here. I mean, we're talking about something a little different here, but we're talking about the head is Christ. We are the body. We're seated with him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father with him in Christ. And we were made as the body to share the authority that was conferred on Christ. Amen. So we have been elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that we may now exercise, and this is the point, to the extent of our spiritual apprehension. If your spiritual apprehension is low, you won't exercise the authority that you've been given. You won't. That's the purpose for us teaching. So your spiritual apprehension comes up a notch. So now you go, oh, I can do that. So if your spiritual apprehension is low, you won't exercise the authority you've been given. But we're learning. So authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which these powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. So the devil's at work, pulling strings on the hearts and minds of people that don't know that there's an unseen realm. He's the God of this world. But we have authority and dominion given to us that we can exercise. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and that verse here, we were to go back and look at that. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. It says here, and hath put what? All things under his feet and gave him to be the head over what? All things to who? The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let me just read one more excerpt here from this John Macmillan. He said, let us reverse the words to bring out more clarity to their deep significance. He said, head to the church over all things. His being head over all things is for the church's sake, that the church, his body, may be head over all things through him. So he's saying, you're the head over all things through me. The authority that I have. So Jesus delegated his authority on the earth to his body, which is where? On the earth. Now, I was thinking about doing this. I think I'm going to take a few minutes if you bear with me. This is a book here. You can buy this through Dr. Billy Brim's ministry, but she shares something here which I think is very significant. She shares a chapter in here that she says, how to minister from the heavenlies. I think this is a very interesting chapter here. And she said, this is a prayer that she prays every day. When she gets up in the morning, she said, I confess this prayer every day. It's very, very enlightening. She said, almost every morning I rule and reign. I do my ministry in the heavenlies. I do it from a seated position, since I'm seated with him, that's her choice, at the right hand of the Father. So she sits in a chair. She said, I'm seated with him, I'm going to sit in a chair. She's in her 80s, so she can do that. But she's also got some revelation. She says, at home, I do this from my comfortable prayer chair. First, I pray the prayer which begins in Ephesians chapter 1, which we just got done reading. I start praying with verse 17, but I do not stop at the end of the chapter. I continue with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, and then skip to verses 4 through 6 or 7. This is what she said. Here is an example of my prayer and how I rule and reign. See, this has got to be done by faith. You profess what you believe. This is what she said. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, please give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your dunamis to usward who believe, or your power. According to your mighty power, which you wrought in the Messiah, the Anointed One, when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age and the world, but also in that which is to come. And if you have put all under his feet and gave him to be the head over all to the ecclesia or the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And me have you quickened when I was dead, slain by my trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved me, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. When he quickened him, he quickened me. When he raised him, he raised me. When he seated him, he seated me in him. Therefore, in him, I am seated far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named. And in the name of Jesus, I will now rule and reign over the powers of darkness, because the Lord told me in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, for I have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Therefore, I now reign as a king in my life by one Jesus Christ. Kingdom of darkness, listen to me. I hold the blood of Jesus over all things pertaining to me, and I forbid your having anything to do with. And she says, from here, I'm just Xing out here. She said, from here, I follow my spirit. I start with family. Usually I name them. Then I plead the blood over myself, spirit, soul, and body. I move then to the good works he has ordained that I should walk in. I name them and their locations and the people and places adjoined to me in these good works. I cover houses, properties, vehicles. I have authority over the powers of the air, which operate through the sons of disobedience in my area, where I live, where I serve the Lord. I call it habitational authority. From time to time, as I'm praying, first of all, for governmental leaders, and I am in the Spirit, the Lord grants me an anointing to exercise authority over the prince of the power of the air that would operate in Washington, D.C. And she goes on, and then she shares further in here. She talks about her son, and some of you remember this in 2012, that destructive tornado that ripped up Branson, Missouri. Some of you may remember it. It was 6 years ago. Some of you may remember it. Some of you may not. We remember it. I do. Of course, I didn't know this story, but she talks about how when that tornado was coming, it was 1:30 in the morning. And it said here, they went down into their basement and the son, her son, this is what I'm talking about. You got to know who you are and what your authority is. This tornado tore everything up. I don't remember what the Fujita scale on it was, but it was very powerful. And he said, this is what he said. The house was shaking. The windows were heaving. He said, Mom, it wasn't easy, but I was doing it. I was speaking my authority over my house and my property. And he said, this is what he said. The mom is saying, he told me a phrase came out of his mouth that he did not think out of his head. He repeated it over and over. Not one shingle, not one shingle. Satan, you can't have one shingle. Amen. And he said when he went outside, he said businesses were totally destroyed. He said the houses around him were destroyed. Not one shingle was taken off his house. Not one shingle was removed. And he said, you can go out, and they put it on YouTube. So you can look it up, Chip Branson YouTube, you know. And he talks about it, and he said, even the news came, and they were talking about it. The insurance companies were all commenting, man, that guy don't even have one shingle missing off his house. He said, not one shingle was damaged on his house. But, he said, it wasn't easy, but I was there commanding the devil, don't touch this house, don't touch my property, in Jesus' name. So this is where we rule from. We were given a place of authority and dominion here, and the devil may come, he may make a lot of noise, but again, remember, you've been given authority by the head of the church. You are the body of Christ, and you are a sharer with his authority. Amen. But it's based on your spiritual comprehension. You're going to have to read this. You're going to have to read this word and find out. It's no different than, you know, not taking advantage of an insurance policy because you don't know the provisions in it. You've got to read it. You've got to know what it says, what you've been given, what authority and dominion you've been given, because you have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God.